Today I want to look at our focus, what draws us, what motivates us, what do we focus on our in the situation, what perspective are we looking at it, because it does help us in the whole outcome of the situation. Before I look at that, I want to look at some references of Bible characters and what was their focus or the angle they were looking at the situation they were in and, you know, the outcome of that situation because of just the angle they were looking at it or how motivated they were. And I want to start off by looking at Jacob for a few moments in Genesis 29, verse 18 to 20 that we just read. We see here that Jacob loved Rachel and he served 7 years for her, and it tells us that those 7 years seems just like a few days to him because the love he had for Rachel, no matter what the work was, he was like, oh, I can do it because at the end of this 7 years, I'm going to get that beautiful maiden over there. She's going to be mine. And he was motivated because of the end goal of being married to Rachel. And we see nothing here of the hardship that he went through. But when we turn over a bit more to Genesis 31, 38 to 42, we see a different picture. Some might argue that the story of his life here wasn't the whole 20 years. Maybe it was 20 years minus 7, but he specifically said, the 20 years I have been with you, this was my situation. He was looking at his situation from a different angle. His perspective had changed. It wasn't on Rachel anymore. It was on what he went through, and we'll see how that defined the outcome. Genesis 31, 38 to 42. He was talking to his father-in-law here. It says, I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep have and goat have not miscarried, nor have I eaten ram from your flock. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself. And you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold by night. Sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for the 20 years I was in your household. We see a different perspective. You know, the first, you would say, wow, the 7 years just seemed like a few days. He was happy because he was looking for that big goal. And the same with us. You know, we can say, what is our Rachel? What motivates us to not to think about the heat by day or the cold by night, that this 70 years, 70 and ten, that we get to, you know, serve so that we can have our Rachel, which should be the hope of living in the kingdom, being with Christ, being with God, being with each and every one of us in this room, hopefully, will motivate us for it just to seem like a few days and pleasant and not to think about all the trials and suffering that we're going through now. I want to take us to another example of this. You're looking at it from two different situation was the children of Israel. They were in slavery for such a long time. They were mistreated. We all have a good example in our mind of what slavery life is, you know, from movies, from reading Genesis. You know, Pharaoh commanded that the strong boys put to death. They were in agony. And God delivered them. They were suffering. God delivered them. And in Exodus 16, 2 and 3, we see they're looking at their situation. Just a month and a half after God delivered them from that life, they're looking at back at that life, and you're like, what they're going through. Exodus 16, verse 2 and 3, please. And this is a month and a half after they were delivered. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said, if only we had died at the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and eat all the food we wanted. What happened? Their focus was on the food. That, you know, they were just sitting and eating all it. But, you know, their focus shifted from the slavery they were in, the bondage they were in. They weren't thinking about that anymore. And sometimes we too can be like that in our life. Our focus shift from maybe the trial or the testing that we're going through to make us better person, to just thinking about what we're going through, and it get us down, it get us depressed. We're not focused. We're not being encouraged as we should. And then there's Peter, which is one of the best example I have today, walking on water. Matthew 14, verse 25 to 30. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When his disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out of the boat, walk underwater, and came towards Jesus. For a few moments there, he was focused on Christ. And he did what we would say is impossible. We can't walk on water now, can we? But he did it because he was focused. He forget all about the natural law that we know. He walked on water because he was focused. The wind was there, the water was there, the wave was there. We could look at it as the trials, the testing. It was all there, but he wasn't focused on it. He wasn't letting it bother him in that moment. So he had faith enough to overcome those. It wasn't a concern because he was so focused on Christ, so focused on pleasing Christ, pleasing, you know, his faith was made perfect in that moment, I would say. And then what he did, look around, his ship is focused, start to think about the wave, the trials, the temptations, the testing, and that's when we lose our focus and start to think about all these trials, that we start to sink. We have to always remember that the trials are always going to be there. The testing is always going to be there. But once we keep our focus on Christ, we can walk on water. We can overcome these trials. I really love the following reference. It connects so well with Peter walking on water and start to sink, and Christ grab a hold of him. In Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14. Can you turn to that, please? Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that of which Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, steering toward what is ahead, and press on towards the goal to win the prize of what God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what's behind, forgetting the life that's behind, focusing on what's ahead. What's ahead? Christ's coming, the kingdom, life everlasting. That's what's ahead. Living with Christ forever, serving God, doing marvelous things, which I'm not going to even speculate what it is. We know it's going to be awesome. But that's what's ahead. Not to think about the stress of this life too much. You know, I mean, there's always going to be the wave. There is always going to be stress in life, in family, addictions, stress maybe work, whatever it is. Once we focus on the ultimate goal, being there for each other, strengthening each other, help each other to tell us that, you know, we can do what Christ did. We can do what Peter did while he was focusing on Christ, walking and water. Job is another person. So is Jeremiah. Jeremiah went through so much in his life, and in Jeremiah 20, he was thinking of giving up because he was thinking about all that he's going through. His friends was mocking him. They was waiting on him to slip up to seize him, and he was thinking about these things, and he wanted to give up, and then he remembered his purpose. He remembered what God had called him for, to be a prophet, to prophesy and to teach what he's about. And then he was strengthened. You know, when we read Jeremiah 20, we see Jeremiah at his lowest point, and also at his highest when he realized his purpose. He said, even if I wanted to, I can't. Because for a short time, he was thinking about the wave that Peter was thinking about when he started to sing, but he remembered a higher calling. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. We know of all the situation Job went through, his animals dying, his kids. But he focused on what was important. After all that had happened to Job, his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." Job replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from the Lord and not trouble?" Both of them kids had died. Both of them had lost their wealth, but they had were looking at life with two different perspectives. His wife was looking at all the trouble they are going through. Yes, it was still there for Job, but he was still focused on God. He still know that God does whatever he does to strengthen them, to strengthen him. And we too are going to have people in our life that will, from time to time, look at the negative, only looking at the wave, only looking at the wind. But we have to remember, just like Christ, when he was going through his moment in Matthew 4, and he was considering, if I am really the Son of God, I can turn these stone into bread. And he remembered the higher calling, man shall not live by bread alone. And that's what God was trying to teach the children of Israel. And they failed so bitterly because their perspective, their focus was only on the food. You know, we have to focus on the higher calling. Hebrews 12. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured in the cross,
scorning his shame, the joy set before him. He was always looking to what's ahead. He's going to be king over the earth one day. He's going to please his Father. In everything he do, he was looking at the joy that set it. He was always focused. He wasn't thinking about, well, I mean, he was thinking about it a little because he was praying that his Father take what's coming his way, but not his will. But he was focused on the ultimate goal of pleasing his Father and being king. Liberate us from bondage, really. That he, it says, he's scorning the shame and now sat down at the right hand of God. He knew what was coming, but he wasn't focused directly on nails going through his arms, being pierced, because he knew exactly what was going to happen to him, but he wasn't focused on that. And it says, verse 3, consider him who endures such opposition from sinners so that you will not go weary and lose heart. Consider Christ, who go through all of these things and stayed focused on the ultimate goal. Goes on to say, in your struggles against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. No matter the wave or the wind around us, in our struggles of our day-to-day life, what's going on in our life, it says we have not resisted to the point of shedding our own blood. And none of us here can say we have shed blood for the cause, for living forever. We have not reached that point. Many have shed their blood for Christ. We read about it in the chapter before this, Hebrews 11. And they still remain focused on the ultimate goal. You know, so we should look at these examples and say, yes, the winds and the waves are always going to be us, around us, but our blood is not being shed yet. So we can continue. Go on. It says, verse 5, and have not And you have not completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father, that addresses his son. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebuke you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as son." He disciplines and chastens everyone he accepts as son. And hopefully all of us in here are sons and daughters, and he tells us we are going to be disciplined, we're going to be chastened. The winds are going to be around us, the waves are going to be there. But we can overcome it. We can walk on it. We can walk on water if we just keep focus on the right goal. It says, endure hardship as discipline. Look at the, we're not going to focus on it and let it control our life, but look on the stuff that's going on around us as it training us up in righteousness. Continues verse 8, if you are not disciplined and everyone undergo discipline, then you are not illegitimate and true sons and daughters at all. We have to go through this. If we are not, then we're not true sons. If the wave is not there, if the winds are not there blowing at our feet, then we're illegitimate kids. And if we are illegitimate kids, we're going to go through these things, but always remain focused. Every week we come here, we partake of the bread, the wine, which represents Christ's body and blood. It's a way to always keep us focused on that night when Christ had the Last Supper, and to remember his whole life, not just that night, but his whole life of pleasing God. It always help us at least once a week to put all our focus on Christ. You know, not the exhortation, not the words, not just the words that are coming out of mouth, but focus on the example the exhortation is trying to bring us to, which is Christ, the bread and the wine. So maybe for the rest of this week and for the year is just beginning, let us always keep Christ in the front. And I mean, every good driver will look in his rearview mirror from time to time, but he's not going to focus on hit and expect not to hit something down the road. Keep focused on the road. Thank you.